Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. When someone mentions the subject of prayer, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it speech, as in talking with God? Or is it posture, whether you kneel or stand or lay on your face? Is it about asking for your needs or for the needs of others? Or is it about worship and fellowship with God? Well, prayer is about all this and more. And on today's edition of Hope for Today, we want to explore this subject, the power of prevailing prayer. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher, inviting you to stay tuned. When someone mentions the subject of prayer, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Is it speech, as in talking with God? Or is it posture, kneeling, standing, or on your face? Is it about asking for your needs or the needs of others? Or is it about worship and fellowship with God? Prayer is about all this and more. Prayer is part of our fellowship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's also an important part of our fellowship as followers of Christ. Leonard Ravenhill said, "There are, I am sure, acres of undiscovered truth about prayer in the Bible. Prayer is the most unexplored area of the Christian life. It is the most powerful weapon of the Christian life. Prayer is the most neglected responsibility, and it is the most far-reaching ministry in the Christian life." Yes, my friend, prayer is an important part of our fellowship with God, and we should rejoice each day in this wonderful privilege. A well-known pastor related an interesting experience he had after a baptismal service in their church. He said, "I bumped into a woman in the stairwell of the church who was crying, and I thought this was a little odd since the baptismal service was such a joyful one. So I asked her if she was all right, and she said, 'No, I'm not all right. I'm struggling. My mom was baptized today. I prayed for her every day for almost 20 years, and I'm crying because I came so close to giving up on her. At the 5-year mark, I said, 'Who needs this? God isn't listening.' And then at the 10-year mark, I said, 'Why am I wasting my breath?' At the 15-year mark, I said, 'This is absurd.' And at the 19-year mark, I said, 'I guess I'm just a fool.' But I kept on praying anyway. Even with weak faith, I kept praying. And then she gave her life to Christ, and she was baptized today. I will never doubt the power of prayer again." You know, sometimes when we pray and pray, we feel like we're experiencing the law of diminishing returns, and so we stop praying. And we consequently diminish our desires and our dreams. We stop believing that God cares and that He will act, that He is a God who wants us to ask. I hope you will trust God's love and concern for you and His ability as well. I hope you will continue to be persistent in prayer, no matter how discouraging the circumstances seem to you. Jesus had quite a bit to say about prayer. He taught by example and by precept, and as we saw in our previous study, by pattern. He gave us the model prayer. In our text for today, Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13, He continues to give us instruction on the subject of prayer. I've titled our study, "The Power of Prevailing Prayer." Before we begin examining this text, let's pause to exercise this privilege of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we bow in reverence and awe before Your throne. We pray that Your kingdom would come and Your will would be done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Father, as we open Your word, we acknowledge again the great gift we have in the revelation of Yourself to us. We thank you for the person of the Lord Jesus, the living bread, and the record of his earthly life and ministry. It teaches us so much. And we thank you right now for this text that teaches us important principles about prevailing prayer. Father, help my friend and me to grasp the power of these principles and apply them to our prayer lives. And we'll be careful to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise, because we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, listen carefully as I read Luke chapter 11 and verses 5 to 13, God's word to us on the subject of prayer. And Jesus said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This text provides several important keys to unlock the power of prevailing prayer. The first key to prevailing prayer is the appreciation of need. Let me begin by making a comment on my use of the word appreciation. Often we use that word in the context of gratitude or thankfulness, but it does have other meanings. One of those other meanings is a sensitive awareness. We could use it like this. The commanding officer had great appreciation for the strength of the enemy forces. In other words, he had a thorough knowledge of what he faced, and that knowledge would temper his strategy. One of the keys to prevailing prayer is the appreciation of our need or the needs of others. Jesus introduces this key by telling his hearers to imagine a certain scenario. He says, Suppose you have a friend, a good friend, and you go to his house at midnight and say, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine on a journey has showed up at my door, and I don't have anything to give him to eat. Well, right away, we wonder about this so-called friend who is willing to rouse his neighbor at the unearthly hour of midnight. In our Western way of thinking, we lack an appreciation for the scene as it's presented to us. That lack of appreciation can lead us to make several invalid assumptions. We might ask why this man was so careless as not to have any bread in the house. Or why didn't he just tell his traveling friend he'd just have to wait until morning for something to eat? You know, it's very important for you and me as we read the scripture to remember that it was not originally written to Western Christians. The Old Testament was written primarily to the Jewish nation, and the New Testament was written primarily to Jews who became followers of Jesus. If we hope to correctly interpret and apply the truths of God's Word, we must have some concept of what the original hearers or readers understood. So first of all, it was not unusual for a household to be out of bread, because generally, each day's bread was baked for the day. That's still the practice in many parts of the world. So this wasn't carelessness on this man's part. We could even say it was thriftiness. He didn't want good bread to go to waste by keeping it overnight. So he had enough for his family for the day, but not enough for the unexpected guest. Another thing we must understand in this scenario Jesus lays out is the requirement of hospitality in Eastern cultures. Examples of this in the Old Testament are Abraham and Lot, both showing hospitality to angels, though they weren't aware of it at the time. In Lot's case, his commitment to hospitality was so great he was willing to let his daughters be sexually abused in order to protect the person and the reputation of the two strangers that were lodged under his roof. Now, nowhere do the scriptures justify that kind of behavior, but it does indicate the demands of hospitality as they were understood in that day. Among the peoples of the East, even today, hospitality is a requirement. Those who can least afford it will give to you their very best. I've experienced that. So it would have been unacceptable for this man to suggest to his traveling friend that he would need to wait until morning for any kind of refreshment. Now, we may think it quite rude of him to awaken his neighbor at midnight, but again, that shows another point of misunderstanding, the concept of honor versus shame. Knowing what we know about the circumstances, we'd say the man who needed bread was in a no-win situation. So what did he do? He chose the lesser of two evils. He went to his friend at midnight. His need to provide hospitality to honor his guest outweighed his need to be liked by his neighbor. So he approaches the neighbor with his request. The neighbor's response, I would say, is somewhat predictable. After all, how would you like to be rudely awakened at midnight by someone pounding on your door and asking for bread? The neighbor is surrounded by his sleeping family, so he tries to respond in muffled tones so as not to awaken them all. And the sense of his reply is, if you'll permit me to paraphrase, stop furnishing troubles to me. The door is now shut and locked. My family is all asleep with me in the same room. I am unwilling to rise and give you what you want. Now, the main character of Jesus' story has a choice to make. Should he go back to his house and explain his predicament to his guest? Or should he keep on knocking? Jesus continues with the story. Though he, that's the aroused neighbor, will not get out of bed and give anything to his friend because of their friendship, yet because of his shamelessness in the face of denial, he will arise and give him whatever he needs. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll plan to be here next week to pick up our study. In the meantime, if you'd like an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. Now, once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Power of Prevailing Prayer, either in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget our Bible teaching programs in English, Spanish, Mandarin Chinese, and Nepali are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue this study, The Power of Prevailing Prayer. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.